This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
From pesos to pounds, euros to yen, Wise can help you manage your money in different currencies. With Wise, you can send money to your cousin in Australia in seconds. Travel internationally without having to brave an airport currency exchange desk or take the guesswork out of converting currencies. Wise lets you send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate, all without any hidden fees. Join 60 million customers already using Wise worldwide. To learn more about how a Wise account can work for you, download the app or visit Wise.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E.com. Wise.com.
I don't know about you, but I am pretty into saving the rainforest. Like, I think people have made a pretty good case for doing so.
The Amazon is the largest tropical rainforest and one of the most diverse, biodiverse places on Earth.
Home to one in 10 species.
The rainforest is considered the lungs of the world.
It also acts as a major carbon sink. That means it basically absorbs carbon dioxide emissions.
I personally would like the planet to have lungs, and I think it's pretty clear by now that biodiversity is a good thing. Like, if all the plants and animals die, so do we. So, you know, save the rainforest. Except, scientists still haven't figured out exactly what it means to save a rainforest. Even ecologists like Jörg Müller.
It's easy to track that the trees are regrowing. This you can nowadays follow from satellites easily. It's much more difficult to see if the animals are coming back and how successful is it in terms of biodiversity in your different settings, in your different contexts.
Part of the trouble is that we don't actually know how many different animal species are supposed to be in most patches of rainforest to begin with. Like, we know rainforests hold millions of species, so thousands of birds and frogs, mammals and insects that don't exist anywhere else. But that complex tangle is so under-understood that we don't really have a great baseline of what a healthy rainforest looks like.
It's almost like as if we said, oh, we want to make sure that patients are healthy, but we don't really know what does it mean to be in good health.
This is Zuzana Burivalova. She's an ecologist who's collaborated with Jörg. And she says that treating the rainforest is like treating sick humans. If we don't have baseline information about what healthy humans look like,
how can we then design drugs? How can we design, I don't know, physical therapy if we don't know what is the normal range of movement? What is the normal daily life of a healthy person?
So that's what Jörg Müller and Zuzana Burivalova are trying to figure out. Like, what does a healthy rainforest look like? What does a healing rainforest look like? And which remedies or interventions are actually helping? It is a big problem. And to solve it, Jörg, Zuzana, and researchers around the globe turn to a super basic tool, sound.
The metaphor that I like the best, probably, is that we are using a stethoscope. We're trying to listen to the vital sounds of the forest to understand, okay, what does the normal sound like? And then we can detect the problems.
This is Unexplainable. I'm Bird Pinkerton. And today on the show, how to build a stethoscope for the rainforest. Jörg Müller's interest in sound as an ecological tool started a little closer to home, literally. It started in the oldest national park in Germany, which he lives near.
And I have the opportunity to go out and enjoy the morning, or to see a lynx in my garden, or to have a river otter in my fishing pond. Something like that is my life.
And Jörg doesn't just live next to this charming forest, he studies it. He does stuff like bird counts, where he goes to various spots in the forest and just counts the birds there every year. It's this well-established way to track biodiversity. But a few years ago, he noticed a problem with this method.
I was running around in the forest by myself, making counts of bird in the morning. And already then I recognized it's impossible to be at the same time at every plot.
Birds are more active at different times of the day. So anyone who has been woken up by a bunch of birds knows that they go kind of nuts at dawn specifically. And this worried Jörg because he knew that if he went around doing bird counts at 20 different plots,
some are before dawn, others are after dawn. You cannot be everywhere at the same time.
Which might throw off his data. Like, maybe he'd count more birds in one part of the forest than another, not because there were actually more birds there, but because he'd visited that first spot at dawn and the other one a little later in the day. So around 4 years ago, he says he started leaving a sound recorder at each bird counting spot. He left them running and then took short snippets of sound from each one and compared them.
The same snips from every plot before dawn, after dawn, and so on. And then you have a selection, which is the same from every plot, and then you listen to them and identify the species.
This refinement had a lot of advantages, like standardized things, it was fairly cheap. Also, you didn't have humans blundering around, disturbing animals. So just overall, it made these counts easier and more accurate. Seemed like a pretty good stethoscope. And Jörg started to wonder if a stethoscope like this could be used in other contexts. So he posed the question to Zuzana Buhivarova, the ecologist we heard from earlier, and she specializes in studying animal sounds.
And she's something like the rising star, young rising star in sound ecology.
Zuzana had actually been trying to use animal sounds to measure ecosystems for a while. She'd even done some research using sound to diagnose rainforests. And the science seemed really promising, so Jörg and Zuzana decided to collaborate on a project focused not on German forests, but on tropical rainforests.
The plan was to understand, are forests recovering? Are they recovering not just in terms of the trees that are growing back, but are they also recovering in the animals that are inside those trees?
This is the puzzle that we started with. Jörg and Zuzana basically knew that they could answer this question fairly well in a place like Germany. It was relatively easy because there aren't that many species of birds and insects in German forests. But in tropical rainforests, there are hundreds of animals making noise, and a lot of them are either understudied or unknown.
If you are standing there in the tropical forest and you are a beginner, it's very hard to identify all these different species. So in the tropical forests, the first idea was not to identify any species.
Jörg and Zuzana needed a different approach. They turned to one that Zuzana had started exploring in her sound ecology research.
We use this approach called calculating soundscape indices or acoustic indices. And this allows us to take every single minute of the recording and calculate something about it. We can start monitoring how busy the soundscape is, how complicated it is, how is it changing over time.
Basically, the theory goes that in a healthy ecosystem, you have a lot of different kinds of animals, and they all make different sounds. Like high-pitched sounds and low-pitched grumbles.
I always like to think of this as if you were listening to an orchestra. If you have lots of different instruments, like violins and cellos and flutes, they will all be playing sounds at different frequencies.
Whereas if you have just a few species that aren't occupying all the kind of sonic niches of an environment, it's less of an orchestra and more like a lonely two or three violins. And that violin playing,
it will stay within a certain frequency range or pitch.
So the plan was to take a bunch of recordings from recovering rainforests and then measure the orchestras in these areas and sort of see how rich they were.
So we can, for example, calculate, okay, in 1 minute, how many different frequencies or pitches are occupied?
And we call this sound saturation. So if they use a wide range of the space, then we say it's a saturated sound space, not in a spatial sense, but in a frequency sense.
Researchers have shown that as rainforests are cut down, their soundscapes become less saturated, less rich. Jorgen Zuzana thought that recovering rainforests might rebuild those soundscapes, and that this could be one way to measure sort of how much biodiversity was healing in an area. So to test this out, Jorg and some of his fellow researchers headed to a lowland region of Ecuador. It used to be rich rainforest, and then settlers came and cleared it for cacao plantations and pastures. An NGO has been trying to restore rainforest here for several years, working with the local community to regrow, and they want to know if it's working.
So, as you can imagine, for a normal forest to recover, to regrow back, it takes decades. So that's why we wanted to look pretty early after the abandonment of these fields, and then a couple of years later, and then basically decades later.
So they went in with these little pale gray sound boxes, pretty small.
They put out these sound recorders into several places in each of these regeneration stages.
So in the pasture areas, we have very dense cover of grass with a few trees or very sparse trees. If you close your eyes and you go to these pasture areas, then you will recognize very heavy song of birds. So they are very similar. Many of them are small seed eaters, like sparrows, buntings, and they love this open field and forage there.
So they put sound boxes in these newly abandoned plantations and pastures, and then they put them in plantations and pastures that had been regrowing for a while.
You see a lot of bushes, you see some small trees, but it's not this forest that you can easily walk through. There'll be a lot of undergrowth, which will make it tricky to walk through.
And finally, they put sound boxes in the parts of the rainforest that had never been cut down, which gave them a baseline, like a sense of what a forest should sound like.
You are surrounded by a complex 3D forest with very huge trees, very dense understory.
Huge diversity of orchids or lianas, so you feel like you're in this bunch of vegetation. There are huge leaves.
So it's a totally different world, and it's very dark inside the forest.
Visibility can be pretty low, but you really feel, as a human in an old-growth forest, you really feel kind of buffered from the rest of the world. Yeah.
They let those boxes sit. They collected the sounds that you heard, kind of applying their stethoscope to the forest. And then they collected those boxes, got the sound files from them. And what they found was what they expected. In the newly abandoned pastures and plantations, that soundscape was less rich, less full. But in the patches that had been recovering for a few years, the sounds got more complex, with kind of creatures making noises at more frequencies, which is great, right? The recordings were helpful-ish. But Zuzana still has questions.
We still don't know enough how closely they actually reflect the biodiversity of the species.
Zuzana and Jorg, they wanted to know which species were in the forest. Like, were these native species or foreign animals that had come in from elsewhere? Their stethoscope was not precise enough to tell them. Like, how could you pick out each individual frog, say, when there were hundreds of species of frogs, some of which people didn't even have recordings of? It was impossible. Or so they thought, until Jorg went for a walk.
Yeah, it's a very nice story. I was walking with my dog at home in the evening.
On this walk, he caught up a friend, a former PhD student who loves to birdwatch, and he told him about the audio files that he was collecting.
And he said, yeah, I was just recently in Ecuador and I had this field guide there and he showed me more than 700 species in 3 weeks. And this is only possible if you know very well the voices. And then I asked him, do you think they would be willing to identify my audio files? And he said, yeah, why not?
After the break, a superhero comes to the rescue.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Wise is the app that makes using different currencies easy. Need to send dollars to your cousin in Bali fast? Getting paid in another currency and don't want to lose out because of inflated exchange rates? Want travel money without having to slog through the currency exchange kiosk? Then Wise just might be your answer. From pesos to pounds, euros to yen, Wise takes the guesswork out of converting currencies. You can send and spend money worldwide at the real-time mid-market exchange rate with no markups and no hidden fees. In 2023, people sent over $100 billion worldwide with Wise. What's more, over half of those transfers got to their destination in less time than it takes to listen to this ad. Whether you're traveling, spending money abroad, or doing business, let Wise help you manage your money in different currencies with ease. Join 16 million customers already using Wise worldwide. To learn more about how a Wise account can work for you, download the app or visit Wise.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E.com. Wise.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm the Morax, guardian of the forest. I speak for the trees.
Alejandro Arteaga has been wandering through South American forests ever since he was a little kid.
We used to live in Venezuela in a cloud forest, and that's where I grew up, very close in contact with nature, and just, you know, getting my boots dirty and walking along the forest trails with my brother. That was my pastime.
On those explorations, Alejandro would find animals and learn their names.
First insects, then birds, fish, and eventually I capitulated into amphibians and reptiles, which is the main group of animals that I study now.
He identified his first new species as a teenager. It was this little brown frog that he distinguished from all the other little brown frogs because it was making weird noises. And over the years, he's built up a rich vocabulary of amphibian croaks and honks. Like, for example, the call of the smoky jungle frog.
A frog that lives in holes, and you almost never see it, but you hear it in the night of the jungle. It's like, whoop, whoop, all night. That goes on and on throughout the night. And you know the species is there instantly.
There's also a tree frog, for example, that's hard to see, apparently, but easy to hear.
And you recognize them by this particular sound that they do. It's like,
nature's squeakiest door, basically. And Alejandro estimates that he has around 100 to 200 of these kinds of calls just kind of bouncing around in his head. He's also spent a lot of time in Ecuador specifically. He even wrote a catalog of Ecuadorian reptiles. So he was kind of the perfect person for Jörg Müller and his team to reach out to when they were looking for help identifying the amphibians in their sound recordings.
There are many, many experts of frog vocalizations. I say I'm one of maybe three. So maybe the choice was not so difficult.
Either way, Alejandro agreed to help Jörg and his team out, and they sent him lots and lots and lots of recordings. These, like, two-minute sound files drawn from the pastures and the cacao plantations and the old-growth forests. And his job was to listen to the files and mark the species he was hearing at various time codes.
I like the old-growth better. It's more diverse and cooler species.
Here we go.
Well, this is not going to work because it's in the day.
Oh, it's only in the birds. Day. Got it. Let me see if there's anything from the night.
Early morning sounds. This. Okay. That's a poison frog.
Wait. Uh-huh. What? Where?
The...
Okay, that's a poison frog, you said?
So it's the scientific name is Epipelobates bollengeri. The dorsum is like reddish, brownish. And what is peculiar about this frog is that it carries the tadpoles on its back. You can see them jumping around the wet leaf litter during the day.
Alejandro sat and listened to lots and lots of audio this way. And he loved it.
It's great because it feels like you are back in the forest, which for me is where I belong. So, oh my God, the sounds again.
But still...
It's a pretty intense process.
And while Alejandro was listening for frogs, other experts were listening for birds, too. In the end, they ID'd around 200 species in all. And when they looked at the species in the plantations and the species in the recovering forests... The news was good.
Clearly, the regenerating forests are recovering species that are only really found in old-growth forests, which is a really good sign.
A good sign for the ecosystem and for the ecologists, right? Like their new tool for monitoring biodiversity, this Alejandro-powered version of the stethoscope, it was working. But it was still not ideal. In fact, in some ways, it still had some of the original problems Jörg encountered when he was wandering through the trees all day taking counts of birds. Because it still took a lot of time and a lot of highly skilled labor, and it was still not super standardized. So Jörg and Susanna wondered, could we make this still just a little bit better? And they had an idea.
The idea that we can train a machine to recognize these sounds.
Basically, if you say to an AI that learns stuff, hey, this is the sound of a poison frog. And this is also the sound of a poison frog. And here is another sound of a poison frog. Eventually, the AI is able to figure out what all those recordings have in common, and it can filter out the background noise to learn to recognize just the poison frog's trill. Maybe AI could get so good that you wouldn't need Alejandro to sit and listen to hours of audio hunting for poison frogs, right? You could just have an AI do it. And there was a group called Rainforest Connection that was already pulling together an AI model for rainforest species. So Jörg reached out and essentially he said,
we want to make a proof of your existing model.
Why don't we run our files through your model and see how your model compares to our human experts? And they learned that the AI couldn't recognize as many species as the experts, but for the ones it could recognize...
In general, it was pretty good.
their stethoscope still has some pretty fundamental limitations. Like, this one is tailored to Ecuador. And even with AI's help, it can't track animals that don't make sound. And lots of insects, for example, are pretty quiet. But still, these researchers, they think that this AI-powered version of the stethoscope could change the game on rainforest preservation. When the medical stethoscope was invented in the 1800s, it helped kick off big changes in how humans took care of each other. Like, the stethoscope alone couldn't heal people, but it helped doctors peer inside bodies without cutting them open. It helped us understand the most fundamental things about ourselves, things we hadn't been able to measure. And that led to better treatments and new cures. Susanna and Jörg's natural stethoscope, it won't treat deforestation or fix fire damage, but it will let researchers listen to the heart of some of our planet's most important ecosystems and hopefully help them find better ways to heal them. If you want to read more about Susanna's work on sound and ecosystems, look up the Sound Forest Lab. You can also find Jörg and Susanna's paper on soundscapes in the journal Nature. This episode was reported and produced by me, Bird Pinkerton. It was edited by Jorge Just, with help from Brian Resnick and Meredith Hodnott, who also runs our show. Noam Hassenfeld did the music. Christian Ayala did the mixing and the sound design, along with Erica Huang. Angelie Mercado took the facts, and Manning Nguyen still owes me vacation stories. Special thanks also to Sitlali Morelos-Juarez for taking the time to speak with me for this episode, to Liam Brooks for his help, and to Benji Jones for suggesting that we look at this story to begin with. And thanks to Regina Nuzzo, a great statistics professor, for her help. This podcast and all of Vox is free, in part because of gifts from our readers and listeners. You can go to vox.com/give to give today. And if you would, it would be very, very much appreciated. But if you can't, that's also fine. And I would also really appreciate it if you took the time to leave us a review or to write us an email with your thoughts and questions. We are at unexplainable@vox.com, and it brings me a lot of joy to hear from you all. Unexplainable is part of the Vox Media Podcast Network, and we will be back next week.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon, taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.